You listen to them. Now hang out with us. This is After 83 Weeks with Christy Olsen. That's me.
You're tuned in to AfterBuzz TV, the ESPN of TV talk. Now, let the buzz begin.
Oh, yeah. We're feeling it. Hello, everybody. Welcome to After 83 Weeks. My name is Christy Olsen. This is the show for fans of 83 Weeks to come to after you guys listen to Eric Bischoff and Conrad Thompson break down all their big reveals. We got fan reactions for you, and we are going to break down their episode talking about the Giant in WCW. Can't wait to get rolling into it. Yes, that's right. This is the first ever podcast about a podcast, because that's what we do around here. And speaking of, in a very special exclusive we're going to have for you a little bit later, Jerry Lynn will be calling in to talk about his new podcast, which is based on ECW. So can't wait to hear the details on that. You know you are only going to get that right here. And joining me today are my favoriteest co-hosts. And really kind of two out of the main three.
That's right. Suck it, Steve.
That's right. It's not really a contest. But if it was, this guy holds a prestigious record of 1-0 as the Devastator 2.
I'm 3-0.
On the
That's
indices.
A lie. You're 1-0.
3-0.
You're
1-0.
He's
1-0.
Because my opponent was 2-0, so I'm 1-3.
Oh, stop it.
So
you
1-0.
Also, the Encyclopedia of Pro Wrestling.
Oh, yeah, I'm that too.
Yes,
say
I gave
hello.
You that.
Although it's a Wikipedia now. It's not echoing. It's Wikipedia now.
Do you want people to know what you're... We're not talking over each other. I haven't even said your name yet. We are off to a fantastic start here. Thank you, George Hermosa.
Hi. But I think it should be Wikipedia. Because who's got encyclopedias these days?
Okay. And, like, I'm going to sit here and make you guys listen to him all night long. No, we also have a pro wrestling personality of 13 years and host of AfterBuzz TV's SmackDown After Show. Say hello to Christian Rosenberg.
Do you notice how I let her say my intro? Because it's such a good
I'm
intro.
Just so
and
excited.
She does such a great job with the intro. Thank you for that intro, Christy.
You are very welcome, guys. We have a lot of fun around here. It is all love, and we love all of you guys that are joining us live on YouTube in the chat. We are having a teensy-weensy bit of Wi-Fi issues, so I'm just going to have faith in the fact that you guys are all there and you are following along with the convo and that you are waiting for Jerry Lynn. I know you guys are there. I could drop some names because I would just know. Like ESP, I have like ESPN or something. But you can also download and subscribe.
Like Legally Blonde reference or something?
On Apple Podcast. You know what? Let's jump right into this because we have been messy so far. So this week on 83 Weeks with Eric Bischoff and featuring Conrad Thompson. It's like he's the rapper and like Eric Bischoff is the singer and like Conrad just comes in for a verse towards the end. Sort of. All right. Featuring Conrad Thompson.
Conrad's the Bruno Mars of this operation. Is that what we're going with?
Yeah.
Okay.
I think he would appreciate that.
Sure.
And I certainly appreciated their conversation this week about the Giant, a.k.a. the Big Show, in WCW. A lot of juicy revelations made this week. What stuck out most to you guys? What made you go, oh, shiz?
I mean, honestly, I was more interested about the whole British Bulldog and the NWO thing. I mean, maybe we can get into it in a little bit, but when he was talking about, like, British Bulldog was supposed to be the third man or...
No,
oh, he was
Davey.
Supposed to be. He was supposed to be in the NWO instead of the Giant.
Right.
Which was some of the talk. I like that kind of stuff. That kind of stood out to me. And just like his attitude, I always heard Paul White was a good guy. He always seemed kind of a lot of personality. So I kind of like those stories.
Yeah, I was really interested in that part. I also like how he touched on the famous Booker T promo. But with the Giant himself, you know, one thing that doesn't really get talked about today, because everyone really knows him as the Big Show and his size and his age and how long he's been in the business, but how insane of an athlete he was.
Yes.
When he began, I remember watching WCW and seeing the Giant do a missile dropkick off the top rope and freaking out.
I can just picture it.
Because
13-year-old Christian.
You've never seen Triple H do that, and he's a lot smaller than the Big Show or Giant.
I don't even do that.
Well, no, you don't.
I don't think anyone was questioning as to whether you could or not. Devastator 2.
I mean, I could. I just wouldn't.
Well, they open up the story by kind of glossing over how, I keep wanting to call him Big Show, how the Giant meets Hulk Hogan, and there's no mention of Danny Bonaducci here, but we do know that it was former child star Danny Bonaducci who brought Paul to this charity basketball game where he then met Hulk Hogan, and well, actually, well, we call him the Big Show when he's WD. Okay. So the Big Show was on Table for Three this week also, and he actually had this to say about how he got started. So let's listen to his take.
Kenny had a charity basketball game against Hulk Hogan and Mr. T. And Danny knew that I played basketball for Wichita State and wanted to bring me as a ringer and also to introduce me to Hulk Hogan. So I meet Hogan. I did the worst thing you could possibly do to a professional wrestler back then. Meet Hulk Hogan, and my buddy goes, go ahead, dude, go ahead, go ahead. Do your thing. Well, let me tell you something, brother. I've been to the top of the mountain, dude. Look at these arms, brother. So I broke into Hulk Hogan. A promo. Like, if I'd have done that to the wrong pro wrestler, it would have been, you know, F you, have a good night, see ya. Hulk's eyeballs lit up like this. He says he's tall, he can cut a promo. So they invited me down to Atlanta to meet with Eric. And we hooked up, and then Eric offered me an incredible deal. And then I went to the power plant and started training.
Wow, he makes it sound so simple.
That's all it takes.
I didn't know that. Apparently you got to know Danny Bonaducci.
I'm working on it.
Well, you got to know Danny Bonaducci, and you apparently also have to impress Hulk Hogan. Don't you think it's probably pretty difficult for a guy like Hulk Hogan to see somebody and go, oh, that impresses me?
Well, when you're over 7 feet tall and you're athletic like him, that will impress any athlete.
I feel like there's a ton of my who's tall radar is a little bit off from hanging out down there at NXT. Mm-hmm. And I feel like if a 7 foot tall guy walked past me, I don't know that I would think anything really of it. But I suppose in this day and age, it was a huge deal. So he gets a lot of attention right from the get go. And Bischoff is also, like you mentioned Rosenberg, is impressed with his athleticism. He talks about Paul being able to do a kip up. Everybody knows what that is, right? That's pretty common. It's something that, as he mentioned, 16-year-old cheerleaders can do. I've seen Liv Morgan do it a ton of times, but she weighs about 80 pounds. For a guy that size to move like this, and yet it took him a while to get to television. Let's break all of that down. So there's this possible, oh, you know what? Let's put a pin in this for a little sec.
Okay.
Okay, we're going to stick a pin in it because we didn't jump in too far anyway. So let's take a moment and turn to some news, some After 83 Weeks with Christy Olsen news. So this is huge. This just broke today. Jerry Lynn will be hosting an ECW podcast. And since we are the only podcast about wrestling podcasts, we thought that we should tell you guys all about it. Mikey Whipwreck took to Twitter to announce that he and Jerry Lynn will be doing a podcast called Front Row Material. Mike Freeland's going to join them as well. They're going to be talking about road stories, backstage moments, and of course, the ravenous South Philly fans. And on the phone right now to give us a little more exclusive sneak dish on the brand new podcast, please welcome former ECW heavyweight champion Jerry Lynn. Yay!
Hey, Chris.
Hi, Jerry. Thank you so much for calling in.
Well, my pleasure. Thanks for having me.
Well, it was so great. We chatted a little bit earlier today about this. And so please tell our fans how you got started doing this ECW podcast. Where'd the idea come from?
Actually, it was Mike.
Oh, you're not taking credit.
He had mentioned it. And I talked to Mikey about it. And he was all for it. And so it's going to happen here very shortly. So we're really excited about it. Mikey describes it best, I think. He says we're going to have it sort of like Howard Stern without the sex and fart jokes.
Well, that sounds pretty good to me. So if it's going to be without all that stuff, what can the fans look forward to? What are they going to be hearing on this show?
Well, like you mentioned earlier, it's going to be a lot of, you know, behind-the-scenes stuff. And actually, we're going to be having a Mike will be running a podcast Twitter account and stuff. So I really want to get a lot of what I want the fans to be interactive with it too. And I want them to, you know, mention whatever subjects or any questions they have, you know, I want them to be a part of it and let us know what they want to hear about.
That's so cool. Why now, Jerry?
I, That's a good question. I've had over the years, I don't know how many people ask me or say, you should write a book.
Yeah.
But the problem with that is I would need 24 people to help me remember stories and stuff. So a lot of this stuff is a blur, but, you know, it comes back to me when someone starts bringing up a topic. But I don't know, right now, I guess the timing was right. And I'm always been very old school, and I've always been, you know, 10, 15 years behind technology. So maybe that's why.
Well, that is quite all right.
And I just tonight started a Twitter account. It's Jerry Lynn.
At It's Jerry Lynn. I was looking
Breaking
for
news.
You today. That's crazy. Finally, you guys are going to be able to interact with Jerry. And I suppose that's where you can be sending him questions for the podcast. So, Jerry, where is this going to be available? Is it going to be video, just audio? Are we going to see it on Apple Podcasts? You have a network yet? What are the plans?
No network yet. We're still, you know, we're going to tape a few and then... You know, as far as other radio networks and stuff, we'll probably shop it around. But otherwise, it'll be just radio to start out. And if people like it, and hopefully they will, it'll take off. And who knows, maybe we could turn into video like Xbox.
Yes, yeah, one of our faves and from AfterBuzz TV, mm-hmm. Xbox 12360. Well, what do you think about possibly having to reveal things that have been secret before, or to really give your opinion maybe on some people who might get upset when you share your opinion? Are you worried at all about catching any heat from anything you might say on this show?
Well, I don't want it to be, you know, we want it to be more, uplifting and fun. So
okay.
I don't want to be like, a critic who's going to sit there and just criticize people and everything he sees. I want to have fun with it, you know, because it was the most, it was the best time of my life. I mean, it was the job, that I loved. I woke up every day and I look forward to going to work. So I want to have fun with this.
Well, that's cool. That sounds like something we want to listen to, most definitely. What else do you have going on right now? I know you're a busy guy.
Oh, well, the home life keeps me pretty busy.
Okay.
But I've just started working out again because I'd stopped for quite a while because in the last few years I had a couple surgeries. But and coming up in January 9th, I'm getting my other hip replaced. So it'll be another couple months of recovery after that, but then I'll be good to go.
Well, then you'll have two brand new ones. So do you think maybe you'll be getting back in the ring anytime soon?
No, my neck won't allow that. But I know I don't belong in the ring anymore. So after, you know, that there's so much, all these younger guys are so talented and can do any move in the book. Even on my farewell tour, I knew I didn't belong in there anymore with these guys. So it's their turn. I'll just stay behind the curtain.
Well, it's cool that you're going to get to kind of continue your love of the business and talking about it and sharing with the fans on the new show. Tell everybody one more time what it's going to be called and where they can hit you up with all of their questions that they're burning and dying to know.
Well, right now the podcast is going to be called Front Row Material. And it'll be with Mikey Whipwreck and I, and Mike Freeland also will be helping out. And right now we're going to be putting up a podcast Twitter account soon. It's not up yet, but you can hit me up now at It's Jerry Lynn.
That's so cool. Are you ready for the Twitterverse? You know they can be very opinionated. They
That's
want a lot
okay.
of attention.
You know,
are you all
to,
right?
To be in wrestling and be running around half naked, all oiled up in front of thousands of people, you got to have some thick skin. So you're always under the microscope.
Well, were you surprised that this news kind of dropped today?
Well, we'd just been talking about it, and then Mikey just put, you know, it in the last week, I think it was just this last week, we were just talking about it, throwing ideas around. We weren't really sure with what, where, and when, and he just threw out on Twitter a little feeler to see if anyone would be interested, and I guess it got a great response. We said, all right, let's go.
What is the one story that you're dying to tell? Like, you don't spoil us. You don't have to tell it. But what story are you dying to give the fans the inside scoop on?
Oh, there's so many. I couldn't give you just one. But I want to have like different segments in the show too, like weekly segments, like maybe one talking about like botch of the week, like that has happened to us in our own matches, stuff like that. Ooh. You know, maybe even injury of the week or something, and talk about how injuries have happened. And, you know, and between Mikey and I, we could go quite a few months with just injury of the week. But
absolutely.
I always said I was a wrestler because I'm clumsy and I trip and fall over good. So
have you turned to any other wrestling podcasters to ask their advice, or do you listen to anyone's shows?
I haven't really listened to too many, but I'm going to start doing some research. I mean, I'm going to have to do it really quick because we're going to start shooting a couple samples here tomorrow and who knows when else, but we're really trying to get things rolling fast here. But yeah, I'm asking around for ideas. Even people who just listen to podcasts, I'm asking them ideas too. You know, what do you enjoy listening to? And, or, you know, if there's anything special that would make it different and fun to listen to.
Cool. Well, we are so excited for this, Jerry. You know, we cover the wrestling podcast here, so we're looking forward to hearing all your revelations and the stories and the real inside scoop, and we will definitely be listening. And when you guys launch, when it's all available, please come back on and let us know, and you can tell everybody where and when to find it.
Oh, for sure. Will do. And thanks for having me on here.
Oh, thank you so much, Jerry. You're the best. Always love chatting with you, and we'll talk soon.
All right, we'll do. Tell
Thanks.
Sean hi for me.
We'll do. Bye-bye. Oh, I just love him.
Cool.
I love him.
Really laid-back guy, which is really cool.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, and I texted him today, and he got right back, and he called me, and he was excited to come on and talk to the fans. So there's your breaking news, guys. The brand new podcast, Front Row Material, all about ECW.
And breaking news, a new Twitter handle.
Yes, that's huge.
That's massive.
I know you all got lots of questions for him. So thank you, Jerry, for calling in. And let's jump right back in to 83 weeks. We were just getting to the giant being signed by WCW. He's impressing everyone with his athleticism. And there's this idea that apparently Hulk Hogan is pushing for, that maybe they bill him as Andre the Giant's son, or they're going to at least allude to it. There's some conversation about whether or not they had ever planned on calling him Andre the Giant Jr. What was your take on all of this, George?
Well, I remember watching it for the first time, or back then when it was on for the first time, and just that Bash at the Beach pre-show on Main Event where you had Hogan say, "Oh, it's Andre's." Like, I was like, "Oh my God, that is Andre the Giant's son. Who else would be wearing that shirt but Andre the Giant's son, that white shirt from like Princess Bride that he wore?"
Mm-hmm. And so, be a giant.
But at the same time, I think it gave him a good way to get introduced to the audience, like, you know, as Andre the Giant, regardless of how long it lasted. I thought it was a fantastic idea to bill him as Andre the Giant's son.
I thought he was Andre the Giant's son until he debuted in WWE. I was just 100%, like, there. It makes total sense. He's wearing the same outfit. He's a similar size. He's just a younger, more today's athletic version. That's Andre's son, 100%. Then he debuts in WWE, I'm like, who's Paul White?
I'm trying to think.
Andre's last name's not White.
I'm trying to think if I didn't know until that storyline with Big Boss Man. Remember?
Oh, when the Big Boss Man story, when his quote unquote dad died.
Yeah, wait, yeah, Andre died in 93, dude. I don't know why they're saying like that he just died now.
Well, so the rumor was out there back then and even has existed into now that they had considered calling him Junior. Mm. We now know Eric Bischoff says that was not the case. And actually, that seems like it would have been maybe a little bit extreme anyway. But Hogan was sort of pushing for this. He wanted to rebuild the magic that he had with Andre the Giant. And they developed a pretty close relationship. They liked each other, but one thing that Eric Bischoff did not like was the Dungeon of Doom.
No one did. No one liked the Dungeon of Doom.
I liked it.
You are weird.
I thought, but it's wrestling. Like, it's one of those where if you don't like that, then there's no way you should like the whole Hardy Boy or the Broken Hardy universe. Because it's like, it's supposed to really play with your mind and like, it's supposed to be out there. I just think it's unfair to criticize Dungeon of Doom for that stuff.
Well, and they did talk a little bit on this episode about suspending your disbelief and, you know, TV shows like The Walking Dead, and we watch action movies all the time, and why would wrestling have to really be any different from that?
Yeah.
Yeah, I mean, the one thing that I really took from the Dungeon of Doom was I became a big fan of the Faces of Fear. Ming and Barbarian as a tag team.
Oh, yeah, yeah. Mm.
That was to me like the one real bright spot of the Dungeon of Doom.
Yeah.
I actually had a little chat with Kevin Sullivan today as well.
Don't tell him I said it was bad. I tell him I love the Dungeon of Doom. It was the greatest faction ever.
Well, you can tell him yourself because we'll be having him call in sometime in the next couple weeks as well. We'll be getting his take on all of this. What about this monster truck thing? So those were big business back in the day. That's still big business.
Yeah.
To this day, Monster Jam is one of the only companies that tours and does as many live shows as a WWE or a wrestling show does. And now we know why there was this monster truck match. Did you guys, either of you, own the monster trucks?
No.
You weren't one of the 125,000 people that were going and getting them every month?
But honestly, looking back, I mean, as stupid as it may sound or stupid as it was, when you hear Bischoff explain it, it just sounds much more genius about it. I'm like, oh, okay, that's, I mean, the actual solution or the product that was shown to us maybe was a little weird. But, like, I mean, the actual, like, why it happened, like, it makes total sense. And I credit Bischoff for being that genius and thinking out of the box as far as merchandising goes.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, no, yeah, the merchandising and the actual monster truck part, I mean.
Because it looked cool.
I wasn't crazy about it, but it did what it was supposed to do. The part that drove me nuts was Big Show falling off a building, then showing up 20 minutes later unscathed.
Hey, it was Halloween. People come back from the dead all the time, as Bischoff pointed out.
Couldn't he have been limping?
Like, okay, couldn't he probably have been hurt? Limping.
Had a Band-Aid? Something?
Well, Bischoff did it well. He was okay with the monster truck stuff and all of that. He did admit that the merchandise thing was maybe a little bit off. But he said that the Dungeon of Doom was so bad, back to Dungeon of Doom again, that it inspired him to do the NWO because he was looking for something more real. He's looking for a limp. He's looking for something that the fans can buy, which makes a lot of sense here, right?
I think so.
The Yeti wasn't real?
I mean...
The Yeti.
I don't think it was that bad in theory. I just think that... I think stables are kind of a lost art, and you can really build somebody from it. So maybe the fact that nobody was really... Except for the Giant. I mean, I think the Giant really maybe... really helped Dungeon and Doom look better in my eyes.
Well, that was the one person that was winning matches for them.
But I think when you think Dungeon, you think Zodiac and Shark.
And Taskmaster.
I mean, I like Taskmaster.
But would either of you have guessed that something like the Dungeon of Doom would lead to NWO?
I would not have put the two together, but it makes total sense of, oh, well, that was pre-group of thugs and supposed badasses before there was, oh, wait, no one's buying this. We gotta have legit, and it was around that time, really. I mean, if you kind of compare with WCW and WWE, that's when the Nation of Domination started really emerging too. Who were just badasses, who would you just look at them like I'm afraid of these people,
right.
And they weren't crazy gimmicks like a Shark or a Zodiac. So then I personally feel, and I'm not Eric Bischoff, so I'm sure he would tell me that I'm wrong about this, but I almost feel like. Now, George, what came first, Nation Domination or the NWO?
NWO.
NWO did come first?
Yeah. Nation debuted at Survivor Series 96.
Nation debuted at Survivor Series 96. No, yeah. I'm not talking about The Rock. I'm talking about just in general.
Nation of 96.
Really?
Survivor Series 96, yeah.
Okay.
Because Farouk had the helmet, and then it wasn't until Survivor Series 96 when
I thought it was early 96 for some reason, because I thought almost the Nation might have came just a little before the NWO. But apparently I'm wrong, because the encyclopedia, Wikipedia says otherwise.
That's right, they do. And
so I'll shut up.
Apparently the NWO and all the veteran guys at WCW were really supportive of the Giant.
I think they were because they were afraid of him.
Well, I would be.
He's 7 feet
and athletic.
What about his?
Have you stood next to him?
Have I sat next to the?
Or
Big
stood
Show?
Next to him?
No. He was. He's How do I put it? I didn't see him around a lot.
Okay.
Yeah, I didn't see him around a lot.
I'm just curious how you would have stood next to him, like.
No, but I mean, Dan Matha, I believe, is over 7 feet tall. Baba Tunde is way over 7 feet tall. He's 350 pounds. I mean, yeah, I've stood next to Baba Tunde a time or two.
I mean, if anything, I think it says a lot about Big Show or the Giant because, like, if anything, he wasn't the first big guy that came from like a basketball background because Giant Gonzalez, El Gigante, was a basketball guy and
was taller than
him. And he was taller. So it's like the fact that maybe because sometimes there are just some things that you see in guys that just you can't really explain. It's like that guy's got it. So I feel like that's how they saw, you know, Paul White back in WCW.
Well, being with that little video that we saw, if he came in, you know, doing the promo right off the bat, so obviously, okay, well, he has a knowledge and a passion of the business, too. Yeah. Mm-hmm. So that would certainly help with his size and look and athleticism.
Yeah, it sounds like some people had faith in him. Meanwhile, Eric Bischoff seems like he was a little bit hesitant. He was trying to make sure that there was the right opportunity to bring the Giant in. However, how they did end up debuting the Giant was kind of fast and happened crazy. And then he eventually became the champion, which was so early in his career, a WCW championship right off the bat.
Beating Hogan in his first match. Hulk Hogan in his first match.
Well, that was by DQ.
But still beat him.
Yeah.
What did you think of Eric Bischoff and Conrad Thompson's take on this?
I mean, it was interesting. I mean, I mean, looking back on it, it's hard to disagree with what happened, because obviously you look at the career that the Big Show had. But I mean, at the time, I mean, I thought it was like a young know-it-all wrestling fan. I'm like, what is the Giant doing? He just started wrestling. He shouldn't be champion. You know,
so, always talk like that, please. Always talk like that. Well, no, I mean, I thought, as a young fan, not following the insider stuff, because I didn't know about it back then.
Well, I didn't follow. I just thought I knew it all.
Oh, okay. I embraced everything. Mm-hmm. I wasn't a know-it-all back then like I am now, but clearly I was wrong a minute ago. I thought it was really cool. I'm just like, oh, here's a shock. Here's this huge guy that really beat Hogan, stole the title. But then a little while later, which I'm sure you have on there, like how he beat Ric Flair to actually win the title. And I remember watching that match, just him sitting up from the figure four, grabbing Flair by the throat while in the figure four and bringing him up to chokeslam and pin him. And I'm just like, who is this guy? This is awesome.
Yeah, so they were – Bischoff had seemed to have some kind of conflicting feelings about that. One thing that he was not conflicted on, however, was that Davey Boy Smith was never going to be in the NWO. Not then, not now. This it part, wasn't an idea. It was not discussed. It might be on a t-shirt now in the future. Yeah. But he says that this report by, what's his name at the time?
This part annoyed me.
Meltzer.
Yes.
This part really annoyed me.
By Meltzer. At the time. But apparently that was not even close to being true. What annoyed you about
it? It just the way Bischoff spins it. And again, I with the good, there's the bad. I mean, obviously I praise him, but this is the part that kind of annoys me about him sometimes, where it's not so much that Davey Boy was supposed to be an NWO. I was more interested in whatever negotiation he had with him, period. Mm-hmm. You know, because he was in the middle of a world title feud with Shawn Michaels at the time. Mm-hmm. And just like a month later, he won the tag team championship with Owen Hart. I want to know just, you know, was there a negotiation with Davey Boy Smith to come in WCW? I don't care what he would have done, but he just kept insisting like, well, he never had was going to be an NWO. Never going to be an NWO. Okay, but did you have any talks with him at all? Like, it just almost as if he was avoiding it until Conrad said, oh, did you at least talk to him? You know, he's like,
as and usual, he's like, Conrad and like, took well, him to
I
task.
Maybe I did. I think I did.
Well, like, didn't he mention in there that he found out, like, that Davey Boy did sign another 3-year contract with WWE?
Yeah, but I'm saying, like, it was around that time where, you know, there was talks. But yeah, I was more like, dude, I don't care if he's an NBO. Was he in talks with, because it's all WCW.
Right.
It's all, I want to know, was he going to come in? Was he not going to come in? Because I thought if he would have come in, or if he was close to it, I thought that would have been huge news.
Well, either way, Bischoff had a huge problem with that report.
Yeah.
One thing he didn't really seem to have too much of an issue with is Booker T's infamous promo. Huh. Before we get to that, Rosenberg, why don't you tell the people about all the good stuff we got going down here at AfterBuzz?
I would love to talk about to our AfterBuzz listeners. Hey, AfterBuzzers, you know our network produces after shows for nearly all your favorite TV shows. From dramas, reality TV, sci-fi, and more, there's no network that works harder to serve television fans. But we need your help. We're asking that you please subscribe to one or more of our YouTube channels. By subscribing to our channel, YouTube will suggest content that's tailor-made for you, and you'll help AfterBuzz continue to grow.
More wrestling stuff.
That's right. And if you're worried about those pesky notifications, don't be. They're optional. So hit the subscribe button now for this channel, and check out our other AfterBuzz YouTube channels as well. Let us know you did so in the comments, and we'll thank you on the air.
That's right.
So
and
for now,
give us a thumbs up.
Thanks for being the best fans of helping us be the ESPN of TV talk.
And we are talking about Booker T's infamous, can I even say N-bomb on the air? I'm afraid to even say N-bomb on the air.
I think you could say it like that, but that's as far as you can go.
Right. But Bischoff was pretty lackadaisical about this. He admitted that if it happened now, it would be much different. But he said he didn't really hear a lot of, there wasn't a lot of pushback from it. Were you surprised by that?
I mean, at the time, I mean, especially when we saw Vince do it in 2005.
Oh, yeah, that was weird.
Yeah, that was weird. But it's like, and even it's funny because you even had Booker T in that same segment, like, tell me he didn't just say that, you know? Yeah. But I mean, I guess it's different because that was supposed to be comical in some ways, even though maybe it wasn't. But
I just feel bad for Booker T because any interview that he's ever done since then about his career, they always ask him about that promo.
His reaction after he said it, that was probably the best part.
Oh, yes, because he's just like, oh, God, what have I done?
And you can pull it up on YouTube for sure.
Oh, it's got like 80 bazillion hits.
It's done every Botchamania intro.
Everything. Yeah. Everything.
Everything. Well, everything like Kevin Nash on Starrcade. No, you won't see that on YouTube because he no-showed Starrcade 1997.
I didn't know that.
Yeah, so this story was completely new to you. This was a juicy one.
I love this. Yeah. This might have been my favorite part of the podcast, actually, the story about Kevin Nash with his family's history with the heart conditions. And that's why, because I remember wondering, because I believe it was just Scott Hall who came out for something with Giant then. Mm-hmm. And I remember because it was all hyping up for it to be Nash, and I never really knew why. And it's like, oh, there was actually a legit reason behind it. And I found that really interesting.
Yeah. Yeah. And it kind of made Kevin seem more vulnerable or at least showed a side of him that maybe we didn't.
You didn't want to die.
Well,
he was afraid of dying.
Understandable, but I mean, this got pretty personal.
Yeah.
Yeah, I mean, well, he wasn't there necessarily to defend himself, but to either agree or disagree with what Eric was saying. Mm-hmm. But I'm sure now that it's out, people are probably going to be tweeting Kevin Nash, so I'm sure he'll mention something regarding whether or not it's true.
And it was easier to argue the contrary just because in that time, like, everybody kind of did whatever they wanted to do, you know? If people didn't want to show up on a random Monday or pay-per-view, it's like, all right, cool, you know, whatever. But I like kind of Bischoff kind of cleared everything up as far as like, no, he wanted to be there, but he had, you know, some things to check out.
To be there. Yeah. And someone else who would not be there for too much longer after all this is the man of the hour, the Giant. Bischoff says that when he started to hear about the Giant negotiating with WWF and that he may go there, he was not that torn up about it.
This frustrated me.
Why?
I mean, that just shows you, like, what, you don't have any faith in your... I mean, first off, the Giant is a WCW guy. Mm-hmm. Like, a lot of people say, well, the only guy WCW made was Goldberg, arguably DDP. I think the Giant is more so a WCW guy, you know, going into WWF. Like, he wasn't a guy that defected to WCW like a lot of the other guys did. I think he was a homegrown talent. So for them not to see that, for them not to see, like, yo, we got the 7-foot athletic Giant... Like, how do you not see value in that? And he's got personality. Like, I mean, Knuckleheads was whatever, but like, you clearly see he has a lot of personality.
Well, and Bischoff even kind of said he wasn't knocking the Giant very much. He was almost kind of saying we couldn't figure out what to do with him, and that's what made him kind of sour.
He was kind of a victim of being pushed too quick too soon.
Yeah,
because then all of a sudden it got, and it happens once in a while with certain wrestlers, because now it's a point where, okay, he's wrestled Hogan a million times, wrestled Savage a million times, wrestled Nash a million times, he's wrestled Flair a million times. He's wrestled Goldberg now a couple times, but they didn't build all those other guys. Mm-hmm. So all of a sudden, here's a guy that I agree with you, George, that they did build, but built him very quickly. Mm-hmm. Well, Goldberg, they kind of did the gradual one, but all of a sudden they're just like, well, we didn't build anybody else, so. Anyone else that we put in the ring, everyone's just going to assume he's going to squash him.
But you look at what WWE did with him. They did something – I thought his program with Floyd Mayweather was amazing.
Yes.
So it's like, how do you – I mean, and WCW always bringing in celebrities anyways. Like, how do you not kind of see value in the Big Show?
Well,
like,
he got to spank Rodman.
Well, either way, Bischoff says that he actually encouraged the Giant to take that deal with WWF. And more than that, Bischoff goes a little farther and he says – he wasn't expecting the Big Show to do much at WWE and almost sort of kind of said that he hasn't and he didn't. Is that putting it too bluntly?
I mean, I can kind of understand because Bischoff had me thinking with this because Big Show or the Giant has had a lot of moments. Mm-hmm. But really, in my mind, other than the Mayweather program, it's really hard for me to pick a specific match of an entire feud with like the big payoff match that really stands up like, wow, yeah, that match was great. Again, there was all the interesting moments that he had, whether it was finally breaking his Mania losing streak with Cody. Obviously, a bunch of the things we've already talked about with WCW. Big Boss Man craziness when he was when he got put in to the match for Stone Cold's injury and win the title. You know, that was a moment.
Yeah.
But it's not those memorable matches.
Mm-hmm. And I think that's not fair to Big Show because...
I agree.
Because, like, you know, he can do the dropkick or the kip-up or I think rumors that he can do a moonsault, whatever. But then you have a lot of these guys say, you're a giant, you don't need to, which I completely understand. But why don't you want to... Why don't you let him stand out above the other giants that the can... He's the one that can do all those things. You know, that's why that's what made Mike Awesome so great.
That
he can do all those things. That it's like, if he's got something to do that's going to make him unique and above all the other giants, let him do that. I don't know why they just said, well, you're a giant, you don't need to do that. Well, he could, and it would be awesome if he did.
Well, we are running out of time. There was so much good stuff to chat about, and we had that lovely little talk with Jerry Lynn. So if our fans out there want to hear your guys' thoughts on Eric Bischoff's thoughts about Kevin Nash's botched powerbomb at Sold Out 1998, let's wrap this up. Where can they reach out to you at, guys?
You can follow me at G Hermoza, G-H-E-R-M-O-Z-A on Twitter and on Instagram. Thank you for tagging me, Johan Pena.
And follow me on Twitter at Will Rosenberg, Instagram the Will Rosenberg. Hey, you can get this t-shirt amongst others at personaltees.com/Christian Rosenberg.
I like that
and
one.
Catch me hosting the WWE SmackDown after show. We'll start tonight at 9 p.m. Pacific time, and then of course you can check it out on iTunes and all the other avenues.
That's right. We didn't get to play Mad Lib Fight Wars tonight, but we will be doing that next week. We had some great suggestions. Make sure you like our Facebook page, facebook.com/after83weeks. And always use #after83weeks when you're talking about us on social media so that we can respond because we like attention. No, just kidding. We just like to
We love
to interact with you guys. And next week, we will, of course, be talking about Vader in WCW. That's what they are covering. Yeah. Oh, Christian's got the...
Vader.
Oh, I thought Star Trek.
No, it's not Star Trek. It's Vader.
Okay.
All right. Very good. Well, thanks to both of you for joining me. We will all hopefully be back next week, and we will see you here to talk about Vader in WCW. Until then... Considering what's going on this week, and since we didn't get to news and hot topics, I'm just going to say, Bella Army for life!
Boo.
See you next week!
What?
Our founder, Kevin Undergaro, Phil Svitek, and me, Maria Menounos, would like to thank you for tuning in to AfterBuzz TV. Remember, we're not just the first, we're the biggest in the world, and we're the only destination for all your favorite TV shows. Whatever you crave, we've got it. So go to AfterBuzzTV.com and check out our lineup. Buzz you later!
The views expressed herein are those of the hosts only and do not necessarily reflect the views of AfterBuzz TV or its owners or principals.